You like Huey Lewis on the news?
They're okay.
In 87, Huey released this. Four, their most accomplished album.
I think their undisputed masterpieces, Hip to Be Square. A song so catchy, most people probably don't listen to the lyrics. But they should, because it's not just about the pleasures of conformity and the importance of trends. It's also a personal statement about the band itself. Hey, Paul! Ah!
In the action room. Welcome.
Yay!
I am your co-host, Tony Wolf.
I'm the other co-host, Jessica.
And we have your intrepid, eternal producer, Producer Mike.
Hi.
Yeah, Producer Mike!
Woo! Yeah, all man right. of many words.
So, thanks for tuning in. Our listenership and site viewership is growing by the thousands every week. So, thank you for joining us and being part of the Action Room Collective. You will be assimilated into the Action Room Collective. So, we've got a great show for you.
Awesome show. We've got an interview. We got nerd news. And actually, I think we have some audio from the first death by cell phone.
Yeah, this is a very crazy story.
This hurts me.
Jessica wept, actually.
Are you scared to use your cell phone?
I'm sad and scared.
Hold on, I'm going to turn my cell phone off.
I was already...
So I don't blow up during this show.
Now, this is different from the first audio we had of someone dying of cancer from a cell phone, but that was slower.
That was
a little more painful to listen to.
That's so wrong!
Do we have the audio for that?
We did. Like, there's like a phobia of cell phones.
I'm totally against it. I totally think you can get something from it personally.
Yeah,
but every
year and a half, I see some major article going, half the scientists say it's totally safe, and the other half say they're so new, we just don't know.
We should do a study where we're like eating sweet and low, talking on a cell phone, cola, the whole thing.
So anyway, this guy in Japan, I believe, I saw this story on Yahoo News, his cell phone overheated spontaneously and exploded and killed him. What happened was as Mel Brooks said about comedy, like physical comedy, when bad things happen to people, he goes, I fall on a banana peel and die, that's tragedy. You fall on a banana peel and die, that's comedy. The great Mel Brooks.
Great
speaking
Mel.
Of, we do have audio from
yeah,
the
right,
wait, tragic
so
event.
I'm so curious as to what he was talking about when it
well,
all
let's,
went
let's
down.
So what happened, though, is the metal from the cell phone, when it exploded...
Tony, we tried to shorten it.
I know, I'm just trying to tell. The metal, how he... It's not like it exploded like a car. It's not that big of an explosion.
But that's the joke.
The metal from the thing went into his neck. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay, you just ruined the audio bit.
No, the audio bit is gorgeous. I've heard it. I love it. I've seen it. I felt
it. It's not a bit. It's real.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right, so... Tony wants to get all realistic on our
well,
house.
I was just going to say that the way he died, because it's not like a car.
It was a huge explosion.
It's not like a Michael Bay explosion.
It blew him up. You heard it.
The metal from the exploding cell phone went into his neck and killed him.
I hate conspiracy theories.
Yeah. So it wasn't an actual explosion.
Right.
Okay.
Well, speaking of conspiracy theories, we have a very special guest, which I know is going
to
join us later.
What does that have to do with conspiracy theories?
He's going to join us later in the show, our new special
but
guest.
But that's not our upcoming interview.
No.
Okay.
We've got
Wait, to sidetrack the episode.
I was just alluding. It's called foreshadowing.
All right, boys, break it up. We have an awesome interview, actually.
Death by foreshadowing. Sorry, go ahead.
With, speaking of catastrophes, how about that segue? Christopher Bellino of Catastrophic Comics, and Mike actually did this little interview with us.
And we mentioned before in a news broadcast, a nerd news broadcast about a week ago or so. Was it already a week? I don't know. We talked about motion comics being the new thing.
Last
you
week.
Can download comic books on iPhones. They're kind of like animatics. I called the guy up, and actually we might be able to talk to William Catt, because he's going to be at the New York Comic Con.
From the Greatest American Hero.
Yeah, from the Greatest American Hero, who does a voice for this catastrophic comic in, you know,
now,
whatever.
He wasn't the greatest American hero. He was his friend, right?
No,
he
was,
led him through
the
stuff.
He was the greatest American hero.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So, anyway, so let's take a listen to that interview, and afterward, we'll be back, I guess, with
the nerd news.
I want to report my murder.
Every cop in Super is looking for you, Spox.
This is Mike with the Action Room, and I'm talking to Chris Foligno from Catastrophic Comics. What's up, Chris?
Not much. How you doing, Mike?
So I first heard about your company when I read an article about a new form of comic book called Motion Comics, which would be available on the iPhone. Explain to us what a motion comic is, first of all, and how did your company, Catastrophic Comics, jump on the first wave so fast?
Motion comic books are basically taking the normal comic that you buy at the store. And what we've done is comics like 22 pages, and what we've done is our artist has added motion to it. So he's gone in there and in Photoshop, and he's taken each like scene, and he's made movements, be it a car, or be it, you know, a character or background, or be it creating like a fight sequence. Once we got the motion done, we got together and recorded voices for it, and motion comic books have been around a little bit, probably for the last year, but not a lot of people are doing it other than mostly Warner Brothers. But what we did that was first was we actually put it on the iPhone and the iTouch. So and it's available now for like 99 cents. It's also a lot, hell of a cheaper than doing full animation. It's just, you know, it's a nice medium because each of these stories are about, you know, 7 minutes long too. So it's a good time killer, and you know, there's, you know, and the nice thing about it is that, you know, you can pretty much watch it anywhere. So
tell us about the first motion comic you got called Sparks.
Sparks is basically about a superhero who is an everyday normal guy who just, you know, it's you know, parallels. He wants to do something great, kind of like Batman. But unfortunately, unlike Batman, he's not a billionaire, and he doesn't quite have the chops or talent. And so, you know, his path is one that, you know, like you best described, is completely fucked up. It's kind of like Party of Five and meets like a bad Bruce Springsteen song. You know, that's kind of what we do at Sparks.
I believed it was my fate to become a super and to save others. Proof right there that I was a moron at an early age.
Do you see motion comics eventually replacing traditional comics, or just kind of being another form of comic book, or maybe a supportive promotion for comics?
Will it replace traditional comic books? I think print will always be there. I think what will happen is it'll be the best thing for both worlds, because what will end up happening is the motion comic books is going to attract a lot of kids who don't like to read, who are going to get kind of excited about the characters. And that's if they treat the medium right, if they actually go and get good voice acting and good music and make sure it happens, because it's just like any other medium, making a movie, making a podcast, making a TV show. If you don't have content that's good, then you're gonna die. And even if you have great content like The Watchmen, unless you edit that thing in a really cool manner, and you have a good director, and you have, you know, some good voice talent, it's not gonna reach its full potential. But you save the money on printing, and also too, when you do motion, not a real traditional comic book, you know, we paid a lot of money to advertise. You know, it was substantial. It was more money than you made off of the comic book, because, you know, you're trying to get the word out in the press. But, you know, the cool thing is with motion comic book, you know, you can save the money and cost on printing. Then number two, you can basically use that money to go advertise.
What would you like to plug in your site? And
you go to www.catastrophiccomics.com. You can look more and learn more about Sparks, as well as, you know, Greatest American Hero. But if you want to get Sparks Part 1, it's on the iPhone and iTouch for the application. And we really do appreciate the time.
I've been talking to Chris Foligno with Catastrophic Comics. Thanks for being in the Action Room, Christopher.
Thank you, Mike. Have a great day. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
Oh, hello. And goodbye.
All right,
folks.
We're back with the nerd news.
Woohoo!
Give
I know
little,
you've been waiting.
Give me a little sound effect.
You guys don't want to say how great of a job I did on the interview there?
You're all right, but that Christopher Foligno! Give it up!
One of the things I have to say, I think all of our guests on the Action Room have to have cool last names. We've got Foligno.
Right.
Falcon. We've
Give me one more, Tony.
Boyce.
Costigan.
Yeah.
We've had Boyce.
Liebig.
Well, maybe Boyce isn't as cool, but she was so cool.
Anyway, all right. So most importantly, we have the nerd.
We know you've been waiting.
Nerd news.
All right, let's start it off. First things first. Everyone's been talking about it. Crazy, ranting, psychotic Batman Christian Bale.
Wow.
Wow. What do you guys think?
I don't know. I got something to say, but do you want to, Tony? You got your.
I read about it, and then one of my first thoughts, which seems to have been echoed by a lot of people.
Wait! Actually, a better way to intro this is let's play the remix that was made of his audio.
By now, everyone has heard the actual clip, so I don't want to waste your time with that. This is the Dance Club remix, which has become a huge hit.
Do you want me to go fucking trash your lights? Do you want me to fucking trash them? Fuck! And what the fuck is it with you?
I was looking at the light.
Fuck! And what the fuck is it with you?
I was looking at the light.
Fuck! And what the fuck is it with you?
I was looking at the light.
Fuck! And what the fuck is it with you?
I was looking at the light.
It's fucking distracting. Oh, good! It's fucking distracting.
I'm not even a club guy, and that makes me want to go to a club.
I'm going to put that on while I'm putting my makeup on, getting ready to go out. I'm going to punch some bitches in the club.
I think they should put that on the Terminator soundtrack. Or put it in the background of one of the scenes.
That should be as the closing credits. As the closing credits scroll down.
I don't know. I would definitely have been pissed off if I was him. But I don't think that I would have yelled at someone like that.
Well, he obviously got out of control, but... If the DP had been warned several times not to do this, Harry Knowles said this guy is a notorious light tweaker.
Who's an inequal news
like
person.
During scenes.
He has the lamest thing to be known for ever. Well, I'm notorious for light tweaking.
And a lot of people in the business are saying if you really work in Hollywood, this shit happens all the time. Namely, some crew member does something annoying and gets scolded. But the other thing is that McGee, the director, really did not provide strong leadership and take control of the situation.
And again, what do you expect from a guy named McGee? That's
right.
What I said.
He's too pretentious. He's got to be called McGee.
I personally, at first, I didn't know that he was yelling at the DP. I thought he was the director. When I found out it was the DP, I have to be honest. Maybe I have a little prejudice against DPs, having worked on films and stuff. They're kind of the middle ground between the crew and, like, the higher-ups.
Right.
So they kind of don't give a shit about the story or what's going on. The actors and the director are very passionate about what they're doing. The DP, he's kind of like a high-level crew member, you know? He kind of gives a shit as much as, like, the trucker, you know, the grip
the
or
roadie.
Something like that. And so I kind of feel like, you know, Christian Bale, even though he overreacted, I kind of side with him a little bit as far as just at least feeling the way he did.
Well, apparently he had been warned multiple times that this was becoming
a
problem.
And also, let's face it, this has probably happened in Hollywood forever. We just happened to get the audio from Christian Bale.
Yeah, but he was like 1 second away from punching the guy's face.
Yeah.
The best is when he goes, you're a nice guy. You're a nice guy. But
like, don't mess with the American cycle.
Yeah, I mean, if he had the like dark Batman voice, I think that would have been better. So.
Someone.
Was
well,
really
that's also kind of cool. He has done so many American things now that his regular speaking voice is like half American, half Welsh. And as he rants and yells, what was fascinating to me as an actor, just listening, and Jessica, you're saying this too, like, you know, it's like 8 words American, 2 words Welsh.
Yeah.
9 words American,
but
3 words Welsh.
I like to call it half method, half Welsh. Is that okay? Okay.
Welsh. All right. The next up in nerd news is Martin Campbell is set to direct Green Lantern. Is he set to direct or rumored to direct?
You know, I'm not even sure.
I think get him off the set. That's what I
think. You're fucking unprofessional!
Green Lantern.
Comic fans have been waiting for a Green Lantern movie and a Flash movie, which is eternally held up also, but this could be like almost like it's like DC's Iron Man. You know, Marvel had Iron Man, the second tier B-level hero that's not famous to the average person or the average kid even.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Every little kid knows who Spider-Man is, but now thanks to the Iron Man movie success, Iron Man is now a household name. This could be the case for Green Lantern. When I saw this article, I thought Martin Campbell. Who the hell's Martin Campbell? But it turns out that he directed Casino Royale, the very successful reboot of the James Bond movies. So that speaks well to this guy's pedigree.
Mm-hmm. But that's his only major credit. I mean, he's not going to necessarily carry this film status of Iron Man.
Yeah, did he have a lot to do with the turn? Like, he didn't write Casino Royale, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Get Mickey Rourke on the movie, it'll be a hit.
Yeah, and comic fans have reviewed first drafts of the Green Lantern screenplay and say it looks pretty good. Solid, so
nice.
We'll see.
All right.
I'm excited.
Some positive. All right,
moving on. This is a freaking awesome story, and it's so random, but I love it. On the Denver News website, I saw that a man was robbing stores with a Klingon sword.
Yes, this is an enormous, like, scythe-like object, right, that you get, I guess, at some convention or something.
Right, right.
What's it called? There was a name. It's got, like, some weird...
It's like a baklet.
I'm
a Trek fan, but I don't even know what that is.
But is this a new wave of, like, people, you know, holding up stores with different, like, you know, movie weapons, you know, like
it should
sci-fi
be.
Weapons?
It should be.
Like, what would be, you know, some kind of photon beam?
What
was the guy in Space Modulator? Something like that.
Marvin the Martian, yeah. My Space Modulator.
So, by the way, call in, Action Room fans. Call our hotline, our 800 number that's on our site, and let us know what you think could be or should be high-profile movie prop weapons that people could rob stores with.
Like it.
And we will do it.
We will actually rob the stores.
We're going to go to 7-Eleven like this guy.
All right.
And steal some sodas.
not right. Sodas. I don't drink sodas.
Oh, that's
Jessica.
Right. You took a sip on New Year's.
That was it.
Aww. Actually, I have been sipping a little bit
you
more.
You have?
Yeah, my girlfriend drinks it.
Gateway drug.
Yeah, I know. It's
pretty
bad.
Broxy.
The other day, I, for the first time, I really had the urge to actually purchase a Pepsi.
Wow.
On my and
Jesus
Pepsi.
Christ.
I hate
not
it.
Not a Coke.
Pepsi.
Wow. All right.
Anyway.
Just go to Diet Coke.
Maybe I should try that. But is that much better? I mean,
I don't know. It's equal to getting a cell phone blown up. All right. Next up is really exciting. We've got a new regular contributor to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to 2012 Pete.
Woo! So, what have you got for us, Pete?
Okay, so the internet is buzzing about the latest cell phone stuff, right?
Yeah.
Right.
iPhones that will have video conferencing ability, and cell phones that explode and kill people? Bill Gates releasing mosquitoes into the audience at a conference? That's like the biblical plague of locusts, man! I tell you this, and mark my words, all of this is just further evidence of the great doomsday that we all know is set to happen in the year 2012. Those cell phones everyone uses are probably secret mind control devices. If they don't explode and kill you first, they're going to make you obey the evil lizard overlords, otherwise known as the Illuminati. They're the ones that are really running the show. Sorry, Obama. And this all ties into the Mayan calendar prophecy that a major spiritual and global shift is happening in 2012. Did you know that the Mayan calendar has no accounting for any human history after 2012?
Pete, I think maybe we're getting a little off topic here.
So either the whole world blows up in December 2012 or there's a major shift in human consciousness. Like we all become hippies or something. Aliens are going to come down and tell us the experiment is over, man. It's like the movie 2001. We're all going to spontaneously evolve into giant, glowing, cosmic, super-powered babies.
Okay, thanks, Pete.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have to wrap
you.
It up.
Whatever, man. I'm
going
to have to
show.
Do some meditation to prepare for the great cosmic shift. I'm also going to have to buy some new huge baby clothes for when I become a big, glowy, omnipotent baby. What's the point of this, man? What's the point of anything? Why am I even doing this? It's not like anyone listens to this stupid radio show anyway.
Okay, so that was 2012 Pete.
Yeah, regular contributor.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
All right, we got one more thing up on Nerd News. Did you hear that they're making blackberries for kids.
This is crazy. This is Leapfrog, which makes these like little PlayStation type games for kids.
Yeah, they're great.
Right? Seen
I bought
them.
My
very
little
cool.
cousin one.
Most of them are educational. They have little math games and stuff.
But which way are they leaping? I think they're leaping backwards.
This is not actually a BlackBerry though, but it looks like a BlackBerry, and it teaches them texting skills, which is kind of crazy.
You don't need texting skills.
When you're 5 years old, you don't fucking need it.
That's for you.
Now the other
how does that work?
T9, you press in like A, N, and it's like anaphylactic. And it does it for you. And you're like, how did you know? I was going to tell you I was in anaphylactic shock.
Wow.
Really?
Right.
But soon it'll just be with the brain thing anyway. By the time these kids are adults anyway.
Just plug them directly
in. What's the difference really between that and working on a computer, you know? It's
right.
Like,
well, the other thing is that...
It'll get to a point where you're basically talking to people. With your brain, like a telekinesis thing.
Like the game we were talking about.
And at that point, you're just talking to people. Why don't you just talk to them again?
Because it's so much easier to go like this.
Noom, 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 noom.
You don't
know
what
I'm telling
you.
Jessica was just staring at me.
A lot of the companies were saying, this is, you know, to give you the opposite perspective, this is no different than kids. They see their parents with cell phones.
Right.
They want to play with a toy cell phone.
Yeah.
We're just giving them the opportunity to pretend they're
like,
grown up.
Like toy cigarettes.
They don't need a
BlackBerry. Toy condoms.
They don't need a BlackBerry, though. It's like they don't need the email.
All right. So,
at least not yet, anyway. But anyway.
All right.
All right. So that's the nerd news for this week. And we'll take a little break, listen to some good tunes, and we'll be right back.
Were some great tunes, Tony.
Yeah, man.
Whoa.
The Action Room is now going to play tunes and tunes and tunes. We're becoming a radio show. Fuck this geek stuff.
Less cartoons, more tunes. Sorry.
Less talk, more rock.
Not. All right.
Go ahead.
So never fear, Action fans.
That wraps up our show, actually.
Yeah. It pretty much
it's
does.
A quick show this week.
We are about to cover the New York City 2009 fourth annual Comic Con. So we'll be there. We'll be living at the convention center. Watch us.
If you're going to be
see
there,
us, look
come
for us.
Say hello. Say you're a fan. I'll make fun of what you're wearing. We'll
it'll
all
be awesome.
Happy.
All right. So thanks, everyone.
Jessica,
look out for
Jessica,
that.
Jessica, do you offer to give them a kiss on the cheek?
Yes. Mm. If you see me and you are a fan of the Action Room, I will give you a kiss on the cheek.
Okay, Jessica. Jessica, I'm a fan of the Action Room.
I will give you a kiss. Oh, honey, you're so cute.
Okay.
All right, thanks very much, everyone.
Tony, what will you be willing to do?
Yeah, Tony, how far will you go for the Action
Room? I'll be willing to draw a sketch of you, the fan. That's what I will do.
That's awesome. Okay.
All right.
Me kissing you.
Yes, that'll be immortalized.
And of course, as always, I'll just have you on the show. That's what I do as the
right,
producer.
Right, you can come to the Action Room studio.
Okay.
All right, fans. So enjoy and look forward to next week's show for the New York Comic Con. I'm Tony Wolf.
I'm Jessica.
I'm Producer Mike.
And don't let your cell phone blow up while you're talking about it.